Hello, boys and girls. And another one today. This is our third one on Friday, but I had a really good friend of mine who I've known a long, long time. And we've been friends through different companies and different things and all that. And it's another one of those getting to know you programs. And these are designed specifically so you understand who I buy from, why I like these people, what they sell, who they are. And sometimes I think it's really important, not so much just what product do they have and is the product good or bad, but about the people. And, you know, if you've heard me talk, you know, the reason I'm in this business is because of the people. And that's what I want you guys to understand. So anyway, I'm going to let you introduce yourself, sir.
Hi, I'm David Blackwell. I'm the sales manager of Folsom of Florida. Been on the job 6 months. Previous to that, I worked for Florida Sportsman and DOA Fishing Lures. And to Frank's point...
Oh, and the crowd. Listen to the crowd. The audience.
That's real, too. Crazy. That's real. There's a ton of people back here. Okay, don't think that's that's not real. I'm real happy that Frank and I are friends. We've been friends for a long time. I got to tell a quick story. It's the first time we met when I was working at Florida Sportsman magazine. And we did a series of fish ID books and baits, rigs, and tackle, and charts, and law sticks, and stuff. And that's how I got into this business. I was friends with the publisher's son, and I beat him up in high school. So it segued into a long-time career in the fishing tackle industry. No, he's a good guy. I'm just teasing. But we're the Wickstrom family up at Florida Sportsman. But in any event, 20-plus years ago, as the sun was going down, I stopped at Fish and Frank's to show him my wares and stuff. And Frank was real cool, looked over everything, and thought it was something they could use. But then we spent most of the rest of the time with him telling me where I could go to stay and where is a good place to eat. And trying to help me figure out where I was going to go the next day. And I thought, geez, this is different than a lot of other people I spoke to. I thought, this guy's for real, and he's a good guy. And I like to think that our friendship's grown since then. Okay, so enough of the mushy stuff. That's how I met Fish and Frank, and that's why Fish and Frank and I are friends.
So, I mean, we've known each other through different companies. We were friends when you were with Mark Nichols over at DOA and all these different things. And now you landed where?
I am the sales manager of Folsom of Florida. Folsom of Florida is a fishing tackle distributor and manufacturer based out of Odessa, just a little bit north of Tampa. Been in business for literally over 100 years. Two different...
technically, they're based out of New Jersey.
Mahwah, New Jersey is where the mothership is. Yeah. But then the office in Odessa has been there for, I don't know, 30 years or something. It's been there for a while. So it's not like they're not the new kids on the block or anything. And they've, like I said, been in business a long time in a variety of different capacities and stuff. I'm in charge of the independent tackle shops, and if there's a more independent tackle shop than Fish and Frank's, I don't know who it is and stuff. But
remember, boys and girls, on one of the shows I told you there's an F in front of Fish and Frank's, but it's not always fishing when it comes to the industry. No. I do have quite a reputation.
No, it's all good, too. We were talking about you this morning at a different retailer, and they were going to do an event similar to your 10 event, and yours is the gold standard that others are modeled after. So I think that's people imitating you and stuff is always a good thing. When I was at DOA, people would imitate DOA shrimp.
And they still are, and they just can't get it.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, you know, everybody else would be like, okay, well, that's a form of flattery. And I go, okay, well, I guess at least anyway. But that's still happening, and I think with your 10 event, other people trying to do that as well, I think that's a form of flattery as well. Let me see. I got to read the questions here.
No, we'll go along. But
I'm sorry. I got to be prompted.
It was just the next one was how long you've been in business and how old is company. So you kind of answered that.
Okay.
And that's all part of the thing. We're not slated to the questions.
This isn't scripted.
I wrote down, I have 17 questions here that I want to ask everybody. Because the reason for the questions is so we don't forget stuff. But we can go from one to the other, do whatever.
We can go off topic.
We can do whatever we want to do. It's my show.
It's good to be Fish and Frank.
Yeah, I mean, the thing I love about a podcast is I don't have to worry about commercials. I don't have to worry about time. If we take 5 minutes doing this or 5 hours, we talk or not talk all we want. You know, it's what I like about... Yes, I have control issues.
It's good to be the king.
Yes. What started you in the tackle business? What was the thing that got you into the business?
I was only halfway joking when I said that I knew the Wickstroms, who I'm sure everybody knows. Carl Wickstrom was the founding publisher of Florida Sportsman Magazine 20-plus years ago. They hired me to be the products manager, and we didn't have many products. We had an old copy of Vic Dunaway's Baits, Rigs, and Tackles. Which
I think is the best fishing book ever written.
They gave me something good to work with there, and that was definitely...
Because that Vic Dunaway Baits, Rigs, and Tackle is one of the first... When I got into business, I knew nothing more than the average person. You know, I tied a hook on, I threw a bait out, fish hit, fish didn't hit. I have maintained to this day, if you have read Baits, Rigs, and Tackle cover to cover and understand part or most of it, you are one of the most informed fishermen in the world.
It's a very well-written book. We sold over 1 million copies of it in my time. Vic has since passed away. And then a fellow named Rick Riles did the update on the book, and there's still some around, not to plug them, but there's still some around, and it's a great book. And it, like you say, it's helped a ton of people get started or continue or get better at fishing. So that's what I started with, and then we increased the product line.
Oh, all the fishing rulers, and you just did a ton of stuff, and they were great interventions. Some of them were stuff nobody else had ever put out before, and it was some very innovative thinking.
Yeah, it was cool. It's different. I mean, the thing about it is we always thought that you want to help people get better at this sport. I mean, you know, if they get bum information and stuff, they go out, they don't have such a good time, they don't catch any fish, we lose them to golfing or something else and stuff. And I've seen how you operate with folks in your shop. You know, you're it's real important that you show them how to tie knots, that you get the right tackle for the right application. I think that independent tackle dealers such as this, and I don't mean to plug anything, but it's just an important part of fishing. To get people geared up correctly so that they'll have as good a time as they can fishing and stuff, and then that keeps bringing them back.
So basically what you're saying is you needed a job, you knew somebody, you ended up in the fishing business.
Pretty much. Yeah, yeah.
That's good. I mean, I ended up...
Sometimes it's better to be lucky than it is to be good.
I ended up getting in here because my dad needed help.
There you go.
You know, I had no aspirations of being in the fishing business, and all of a sudden mom called, hey, we need somebody to watch the store.
It was a dream job come true. I mean, for me and stuff, I love fishing and stuff.
Thank God for unanswered prayers.
Yeah, it was super cool. And then, again, it was during the time of the net ban, and I was in a little bit better shape back then and stuff. When we'd go to some of the net ban meetings, and there'd be opposition, and some guys would be all puffy-chested and stuff, and they thought, well, why don't we get the big guy to come along with us and stuff, and then anything breaks out. I was the bouncer at the meetings on occasion and stuff like that.
David is not what you'd call tiny.
Yeah, and I'm a big fat guy, but back then I wore my chest around my chest, so, but anyway.
Isn't that amazing how this happens?
Yeah.
All right. Here's a question. When you decided to get in the fishing tackle business, we all have these things in our head about it. After you've been in the business, do you remember what it was like, what you thought it was going to be versus what it really is?
I mean, there's a couple things with that, at least anyway. I think people think, you know, you walk in the door and it's like, okay, so how's fishing, what you've been doing over here and stuff like that. I go at this hard as well as you do and stuff, so it's hard for me to carve time out to get to go fishing so much anymore, at least anyways. The longer you've been in it, if you move up the chain, if you would, a little bit and stuff, your responsibilities increase and stuff, so I don't get to fish nearly as much as I used to. But I will tell you this, I still love this job as much as I did the first day I started.
So for you, one of the reasons I came up with that question, because I think the best question would be, do you miss fishing now that you're in the fishing business?
I've heard of this fishing. I plan on doing it again sometime and stuff. Yeah, no, I
but
do.
There is a misconception out there about what people would think the business is versus what it really is.
Absolutely.
And I maintain the only really good thing about this business is the people.
Absolutely. I'm fond of said it this morning to somebody and stuff, that if I was smart, I wouldn't have this job, for one. And then two, you can make a bunch more money in other... If you work this hard, you can make a bunch more money in other industries and stuff, but it's the people that make the difference and stuff. I was visiting with somebody today that I've been doing business with for 20 years, and we're waxing nostalgic about old stories and stuff like that. Bob Harrell from Sunshine Ace Hardware, South and stuff. You know, he's a stalwart in this business, and he was talking about guys... He's a little bit older than me, so he's talking about guys that are just a little bit before my time, but I know who they are. So it's kind of a legendary thing, and then he was telling a story about, you know, he introduced this young kid to Mark Nichols when we were at DOA, and Mark took the kid fishing, and, you know, the kid was, like, you know, coming unglued. He's like, he'd met a rock star sort of thing. It's stories like that that keep you know, that make
that's
it this
actually
worth
how
the
I felt first time meeting Mark Nichols.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, like a little kid just coming up going, Mr. Nichols, sir.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that was, there's very few people who have intimidated me in the business. Maurice, one of the founding members of the Rapala family.
Uh-huh.
Jimmy Houston, who I just think is one of the greatest guys to ever live. There's been a few in the industry that I've literally, and I've done a lot with celebrities and
right.
all this other kind of stuff, but
you ain't scared.
There's a few people in this industry that are just intimidating. Dick Henry, oh my God. That man is the walk around living legend.
He's who I want to be when I grow up.
Oh my gosh. To meet Dick Henry for the first time, and even Barry from Star Rods, you know.
Good guy.
But Dick Henry was, that was one of the people, when I finally got to know him, and I know we're friends now at this point.
Right.
And it's so cool to actually be able to meet somebody like Dick Henry and be talking to him and, you know, treated like a peer.
I was fortunate to have kind of a similar, even better, I don't know, better, different experience, at least anyway, after I left DOA. I went to work for a rep group called Suggs Nicholas Shea up in North Carolina. I had North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia in my territory, and I'd go to the Outer Banks and call on tackle dealers out there. And again, it's a cool experience and stuff. It's a different thing going into talking to a tackle shop owner and stuff, a hardworking guy, somebody who's looking to make this happen and stuff to help people out and stuff. The folks on the Outer Bank, for the lines that I was repping, Dick Henry was involved with Sea Striker and Star Rods. And I tell them who I was and who I was with. And they're like, you know Dick Henry? I mean, even people in North Carolina and stuff, he's like a legend. You know, he'd help them out during hurricanes and, you know, help them out through tough times in their lives and stuff like that. And he was really just he is a very good guy. And he's, you know, he's always made great innovative product that help people catch fish and stuff. So he's a rock star in this industry. Mark
yeah.
Nichols is.
Well, Mark
Jimmy
Nichols,
Houston, all those guys are.
I can tell you, when Hurricane Charlie took my store apart,
mm-hmm.
there's nothing left. We've got it stripped down to bare walls. The wires are gone. The drywall's gone. Everything's gone. We got nothing but concrete and ceiling in there. And I'm in there with pressure washers. And all of a sudden, I'm in the store cleaning and doing all this. UPS pulls up, and this big box shows up. And, I mean, this thing is literally 3 feet by 2 feet by 2 feet high, and you barely lift it. It was nothing but DOA products and a note from Mark Nichols saying, I heard you're going to try and get back into business. I hope this helps. No invoice, nothing else, but I hope this helps. And I've got 14, 20 feet of DOA in my store. And if anybody thinks I'm deleting even one of those products, I don't care what happens. I will have DOA in my store forever. He is a hero and a rock star. Like I said, I was like a little kid talking to him first time. So we're on 100% agreement.
I promise you, he thinks the same of you as well.
So, but getting into this, now you're working for Folsom. What type of products do they have at Folsom? They sell other people's stuff, but they also manufacture their own stuff.
Correct. Again, we have a wide range of products that we distribute. And then as of late, and that's part of the reason why I took this job 6 months ago, there was a time when Folsom would be known for getting products into, you know, the box stores and everything like that. Maybe not stuff that's long-term, you know, for tourists and everything like that. And granted, we still service Walmarts and the box stores. But as of late, in the last couple, 3 years, we've got a product manager that, I don't want to say we stole from Penn, but we're thankful to have, Cameron Hughes, who's developing top-notch, good-quality product.
Who that, I'm friends with.
Who is a great guy.
Yeah,
he's a very knowledgeable guy and stuff. And, one of the things that one of the most recent things that we've come up with, or that he has come up with, I should say, is our shield reel and carbon shield rods and stuff. And Frank has them here in the store. And again, it's not a
now the carbon shield rod and reel. I've talked about this on our show because you guys have the ad on Radio Fishing that
mm-hmm.
you got, and I took it out fishing. And the truth of the matter was, I did not love it in the store because it almost felt like it was a little tippy.
Mm-hmm.
But that solid carbon rod, which you're telling me it's some kind of almost indestructible rod. It's super strong.
Almost indestructible. I kayak fish with my children, who the oldest is 14, and we kayak fish and stuff. And by the nature of kayak fishing, you're going to high stick bringing a fish into you and stuff like that. I'm not challenging somebody to break a rod, but you'd have to try and break this rod, basically.
It's super durable. Now, and that was kind of the thing, because it almost felt a little tip heavy. So I was Hey, Danny.
Danny Shetler's in the building, ladies and gentlemen.
You,
all
you
right.
You can come over and say goodbye to everybody if you want. This, we're having the... No, he's got another setup, everything over there.
We have mostly
setups.
I don't want to cut into Blackwell's, you know, 15 minutes of fame.
David Blackwell, getting to know him, but this is Danny from Shimano.
Danny Shetler from Shimano, ladies and gentlemen.
And you guys work together because he works for Folsom, and you go to Folsom to do products just like I do.
David's been a tremendous asset for me over there.
We've been friends for a long time.
Yeah, he's been kind of a...
Do you know anybody who's not friends with Danny?
He's a likable guy, and he's, I mean...
I mean, he works for Shimano. He's such a great guy. It just doesn't make any sense, does it?
It is a bit of a contradiction sometimes.
Stop. Somebody might be listening here, okay? No. A nicer guy in this industry you're not going to find.
No, he really is. I mean, it's amazing. And you guys have known each other a long time.
His life in the war.
Yeah. He's actually been on my side of the desk too. There, he was a rep for Suggs quite a few years.
Yeah, I'm sure you did that earlier. Yeah. For Suggs Nicholas Shea for 3 years in North Carolina.
So, it's the fishing business is kind of a different thing, but I don't really. You know, people out there, when you're listening, it's kind of funny because they work for different companies, but on one aspect, you guys work together. Another aspect, they're kind of competitors. But it's the reason that keeps me in this business. The three of us are sitting around here, and we all do business together. Everything kind of goes between each other. And last year at the tent sale, when Danny came, you guys helped him out immensely by getting him products to get to our tent sale.
That was right when you started.
And that was my first week, yeah.
Yeah, and he pulled some strings to make it get some merchandise down here in time for the show.
And I don't think people realize, when I say I'm in this business because of the people, it's because of that. I'm asking Danny, saying, Danny, we got to get this and we got to do that. He calls David. David goes, okay. And there's so much working together and camaraderie in this industry, even though in a lot of instances, you know, there's a lot of competition. But in this part of it, this is amazing to be a part of.
You always want to be decent to one another and stuff. It's the right thing to do, and that's what should be everybody's first option, I think, at least, anyway. And, of course, you know, working with you and Danny makes it easier to do
now,
the right thing.
Do you guys ever go fishing? Have you ever been fishing together?
Yeah, he keeps promising me a trip, but it hadn't happened
yet. And wait a minute. He went fishing with one of...
Hey, Mike's going dead. Sorry.
Yeah, I think you went flounder fishing a couple of weeks ago with the boys up in Jackson, yeah?
You know what? It didn't happen and stuff. Their docks are all still beat up since the hurricane and stuff, so I had to keep on working. Again, Frank and I touched base on that earlier and stuff, this about fishing being a novel idea, and I'd like to try it again sometime. Now, that didn't work out in Jacksonville, so, but if anybody's listening to Jacksonville, anyway. We want to go fishing. We're going to start a new fund or something with Danny and I, take a fat kid fishing.
That's right.
No.
And we'll post a photo if you don't believe the heading.
No. That's not going to be good for anybody or anything. Okay.
All right. Well, David, I'm going to let you do your thing here, but thanks for inviting me in. You guys enjoy? And have a great weekend, both of you.
Danny Shetler's left the building, everybody.
Yeah. I mean, it just goes on and on. Thank you, Danny. We'll catch up next week. We got a bunch of orders and stuff and all this kind of stuff I need some advice on, because I know I got to buy a bunch of product, but I don't know what I'm buying, so...
That's the Folsom of Florida show, ladies and gentlemen,
yes.
November 7th and 8th.
Yes. I will be there buying it.
Oh, yeah. Are you going, Frank, to the show?
Yeah. Terry cuts hair on Tuesday night. She's still a hairstylist. I don't think there would be. She could find something to work with.
Every day I wake up, I got more face to wash. Yeah. No, I'm right there.
Yeah, I know. The reason I cut my hair, and I don't have long hair anymore, I didn't want to be, you know, I have a Friar Tuck starting real bad. You know, the front of it's just, the front of my head's trying to meet the back of my head.
Every day I wake up, I got more face to wash. Doesn't really matter. My wife still loves me. I'm good.
Yeah, so. All right, well...
Very good. Well, I'll see you in, about 10 days now, right?
A week from Tuesday.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
So, we'll all be there.
All right. You guys take care.
Bye,
Danny.
Danny. All right. Anyway, you never know what's going to happen in radio fishing, because we're just sitting in my office. It's the second room off the store, so...
Palatial offices in downtown Port Charlotte, everybody.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. I forget where we were.
Favorite product. We were talking about Shield and Carbon Shield.
Yeah, and I took them out fishing, and it's wonderful on the water. Literally amazing to fish with on the water. I have a policy where if somebody buys a rod and they take it out and fish with it once or twice and they don't like it, to bring it back, because some of the stuff I've liked the best in the store, I've liked the least on the water. Mm-hmm. And in the case of the shield, the reel felt good, but with the rod, it was it seemed like it wasn't going to work right. I got out in the water and fell in love with this. I found myself the last fishing trip grabbing that one, and I was very, very pleasantly surprised that it all worked out. And on the water, this thing feels good. It casts great. I've got 15 pound braid on it, and it's the 7 foot, the lighter one of the seven.
The medium, not the medium heavy.
Yeah. The medium, and I'm using a 3,000 reel on it, and it feels so good to cast it, hold it. I've caught a few different fish on it. Probably the largest thing I've caught on now is a 3 foot bonnet. I haven't been having the greatest of luck fishing, but. It was,
that's a good pull, at least, anyway.
Yeah, it was literally no problem, and I kind of played with it next to the boat. I was trying to get pictures of me and the shark. My dad really can't use a smartphone camera, so I'm trying to do the selfie thing with it, holding the fish, so the rod got torture tested a little bit.
Again, you know, trying to break it inadvertently, at least, anyway, but no, I get it. That's cool. I'm glad that you gave it a shot, and it worked out.
I have not fished the bigger ones yet, but I'm on board with the reel. I like it. I got to tell people, when you feel it in the store, you know, if you buy it from me and you want to take it out, fish it once. If you don't like it, bring it back. I'll exchange it for something else. But I got a hunch this is one you want to try. And I'm willing to take that bet. I'm willing to take the hit because it's an on-the-water rod. I don't think it's, you know, I hate to say it to you, David, it's not a great in-the-store rod, but on the water, it's good. It's very good. I found myself wanting to grab that rod during my last trip.
That's a glowing recommendation, too. I mean, without having to be a staged one or something like that, you know.
I don't do that.
I know,
if
but I'm
I
just saying.
If I don't like it, I will tell you.
But just people, you know, are listening. I guess they know you from your show and everything, obviously. But it's just, I think that's a cool recommendation and stuff. You know, I had some trepidation to begin with and stuff, and then gave it a shot, and it ended up going good.
But that's literally the truth. And, you know, like Danny and I, we have been at war. I went to war with Shimano. There's no doubt. I mean, I was flat out at war from them. I didn't like their policy. I didn't like anything that was going on. And I tell people about it. I tell it to Danny. I tell it to anybody. But they're doing better. And they're meeting me halfway. And we're back. We're forming a great alliance. We're going back in the Shimano business. Everything's full steam ahead. I don't think because you have a difference, you should, you know, hold it against somebody. I think you should always try to work to be in the middle. And with yours, I would love to have been able to say, I love this, I love this, I love this, but that wasn't the truth. The truth was, not so much in the store, but really liked it on the water. And for me to go, and I had four of the rods to choose from, and I kept going to that one. So, anyway, but getting back to the interview, sorry guys, I didn't mean to do that to you. Who chooses what goes on? Because you brought these out. Is this kind of a thing where you get a group of guys together and say, okay, you know, yeah, this is a good idea, that's a good idea, or is it more by department and then this guy?
Well, do you like to see what's going on in the market and stuff? Do you see where there's a need or where there's an opportunity? I mean, it is still a business and stuff. I mean, so, you know, you see what where there's an opportunity. And from there, then we, you know, rely very heavily on Cameron Hughes, our product development manager, and then his assistant Tim and stuff. And they, you know, I mean, there's a lot of product testing, a lot of field testing, which
right. How do they do it, like in a test room, or do they send it out on the water?
Both. And they go out with it on the water as well and stuff. When you came up to Odessa, did you see going to Cameron's office and stuff? There's just a ton of stuff spewing about everywhere, basically, and stuff, you know, this, you know, the component from this rod, and, you know, or just trying a bunch of different things and sample, you know, pieces of graphite and stuff that you put together and try and, you know, find the right feel for it, what you're looking for, how you envision this happening and stuff, mm-hmm. and then getting feedback, you know, from guides in the field and people, Nick Cicero, up in New Jersey, helps to design a bunch of product from our northern office and stuff, who's fished all over the world, and he's an old guy like me and stuff, so I mean, a ton of experience. You know, guys that know how to design a rod and who go fishing, basically, are the two components.
How long would you say it takes from when somebody has the idea to when somebody gets to buy it?
There's so many different components involved, and I don't want to act like I know everything about it. I'm a seller, not a teller, basically, is what it amounts to. But what I've observed and stuff, I mean, from the idea, like, okay, well, let's do, you know, a spinning reel that is water-resistant, like the Shield. It's not water-proof because nothing is and stuff. I think it took a year and a half for that to happen and stuff. I mean, for, you know, you take it to the manufacturer once you get kind of a cool prototype going and stuff, and then it has to come back, and, you know, you're fine-tuning it constantly and stuff, and then there's always feedback. And it's, you're not a $100 bill. You're not going to make everybody happy is what it amounts to and stuff, but you want to make as many people as, happy as possible. When I was at DOA before my time, Mark had already invented these lures before I came along and stuff, but the story goes is Mark would go to tackle shops with a dozen shrimp on stick pins and go up to the owner and go, hey, you want to buy these and stuff? And I always envisioned Oliver Twist. So would you like to buy these, please? You know, that sort of thing. It's a lot of trial and error is what it amounts to and stuff that you have to work your way through and stuff. It's not, again, as people perceive this and stuff, a ton of fun all the time, like you and I are getting to go fishing all the time because we're in the tackle industry. It's not always that way. But then the satisfaction of making a product, you know, of your own, you know, volition, your own opinion, and have that, you just say something like that, a guy who is very knowledgeable, say, well, initially I didn't particularly care for it, but then I tried it, and now I'm picking that, I find myself subconsciously picking up that rod over some others that I was thinking that I liked a lot better. I would have to think that would give Cameron Hughes, the designer of that, a lot of satisfaction.
Yeah, well, I haven't told Cameron, I really, because it was just a couple weeks ago I actually got a chance to start using it. And I used to say, well, I kind of like it. I think it's good, but I'm, you know, I got to take it fishing first. But no, you know, one of the big problems in our industry, and I hear this from guys all the time, is, boy, I really like this. This was the best rod or the best lure or whatever. And then it's canceled or it's redesigned and it's different. Any idea why manufacturers would do that to
us? Market demand.
Market demand.
Yeah. And I don't mean to sound all cold about it and stuff like that, but, you know, everybody's a for-profit organization and stuff. You got to make money and stuff. And if you make a ton of stuff that doesn't sell real well or sells, you know, real well in a specific market and stuff like that, it's kind of, we're not a custom rod builder and stuff like that, where everything that we do is specifically germane for an area and stuff like that. So it's kind of a drag. I get it and stuff, and I have heard that before and stuff. It's like, you know, why'd you guys stop making that, you know, that particular purple haze color and a lure or something like that? It changed a little bit and stuff. And it's one of those things and stuff like that. You want to try and please as many people as you can, basically, is what it amounts
to.
So
mostly, most often with that, it's just people aren't buying it or buying enough of them.
Or, yeah, I guess market demand, that's what that means and stuff, yeah.
Okay.
So if you like something, go buy a ton of them.
You're going to be here for March 24th at the tent sale.
I am.
You're going to be able to come and meet these guys in person March 24th.
Yes, sir.
And then we have another event that's going to be on June 30th. It's an ICAST preview show, and it's timed specifically June 30th because it's the same date as the European FTEX.
Got it.
So we're not breaking any rules, but we're not going to be allowing pictures or anything else. And it's a new product showcase. It's also for your highlighted items, but your new products. And hopefully we can get you guys to attend that as well. But with the tent sale, this is a big event. Now, how important do you think it is to do consumer shows and stuff like that?
It's huge. It's huge. I mean, again, I used to work for a fishing magazine, and, you know, I mean, that would be part of the process of bringing a product to market, you know, getting, you know, buying ads or, you know, radio and TV and or whatever and stuff. But consumer products, which, again, from our perspective, you know, guys like Danny and I and, you know, all the other reps around and stuff, you work hard during the week and stuff. I've been home for 3 days and stuff like that. And I'm not crying. I mean, this is the job that I took or something. But it's like, great, now I got to give up a weekend and stuff to go to. I enjoy this stuff. Again, it's been my experience that to be able to bring a product to market, you got to show it to people. You got to get it in people's hands. You got to. I think that tackle shops are never going to go out of business. People will say, oh, well, you can buy the same thing online, but you got to put your hands on it. You have to try it and get a feel for fishing tackle.
Now, that's one of the things. The next question is, how do you see the future of the tackle business? Do you think box stores, internet, independents, Do you think the sport's going to get bigger, smaller? What do you? What's your vision of the future?
Well, the thing about it is with tackle shops, and I've said this my whole career and stuff, independent tackle shops are the backbone of this business and stuff. You know, people, you get educated, and, you know, everybody started reading Bates Rigs and Tackle, and the next thing you know, you're piloting a 40, you know, 2-foot Viking or something like that going offshore. That's great, but you still need to support a local tackle shop because that guy, I mean, again, I don't mean to sound condescending or anything like that as a commercial for Fish and Franks, but I'm talking about proactive independent tackle shops.
You can do a commercial for Fish and Franks. I have no problem with
that.
Well,
again, I'm going to get back around to that. I'm just trying not to be real obvious is what it amounts to. But a shop where, like, the owner knows what's going on, knows his local fishery, knows what's happening winter, spring, summer, or fall, knows what, you know, when you come in and you go, okay, I got $100 to spend, know how to best spend that, help you spend that money, not just to jam you up with a bunch of stuff he's got in the back of the room. Independent, good, solid, reliable, respectful, independent tackle shops.
Here's just somebody for people so that they understand how I do this stuff. You walked in strictly to say hi, right?
Mm-hmm.
You were just driving by on the interstate. You swung off to say hi. I mean, we've been friends a long time, so you just were coming in to chat and say hi. And I said, hey, would you do the show with me?
Right.
So you didn't know until 2 minutes before we do this. I said, here's a list of questions I want to ask you. Will you do this?
As you can tell by the quality of this interview, I had no way to prep. Yes.
So just so people know, this is, I'm not calling you guys and saying, hey, come here. I want you to do this. This is just happenstance. So, it's an unusual little store.
As a result of, you know, looking to come in here and stuff and to see what's going on in the area, obviously to spend time with you and Robert and the rest of the crew and stuff, it's an educational thing and it's a cool thing. And I think that this has been going on for generations as well, not just here, but I mean, meeting at the tackle shop and stuff and to spend a little time in fellowship, if you would, and stuff. I think that's very cool. So that's why, yeah, I stopped by. The next thing you know, I'm doing a podcast.
Yeah, here's one of the, we're pretty much down to the end of it. And just to sum it up, what do you like most about your job? Because your job consists of a lot of days gone from the family, you're on the road a lot, and all this. What's the good part about your job? What's the best part?
The relationships, over the years, the relationships, and then seeing kids, or not just kids, but anybody, first time new to fishing or anything like that, being successful at it. I mean, even adults, because I think this sport can turn adults into kids, grown tough guy men into little boys and stuff like that when they're successful fishing. There's a lot of parts to this, and a lot of things that need to happen for it to be successful, and you got to work at it, and there are egos involved, and a lot of times people get their feelings hurt over something they really shouldn't, and stuff you'd mentioned earlier about, you know, Danny and I and other reps and stuff like that in competition. At the end of the day, you want to be respectful of one another, realize, you know, everybody's just trying to make a living and take care of their families and stuff. So the relationships that have formed over the years and stuff are the best part of this to me. Somebody said to me this morning and stuff, you know, I'm rich, but not necessarily just by money. You know, by the money that you make, you're rich by the relationships that you have and the friendships that you form. And, you know, in a week or so, yeah, a week from today, yeah, we're having the Folsom of Florida, the company I work for, is having our dealer show. About 75 different dealers.
You do have to be a dealer to attend that.
Yeah, it's a business-to-business thing. It's not like, oh, you can show up and buy, you know, a guy off the street can buy tackle. Tackle shops come to our show with manufacturers all set up as well as us, selling, you know, showing what's new and great and stuff, and, you know, trying to get people deals so they can pass them on to the consumer. But so 75 of my closest friends basically will gather down in South Florida next week, and we'll have a show and spend a little time in camaraderie and stuff. And that's, to me, is a cool thing. It's an important thing, and that's the part that I like most about my job.
Okay. The now, for people to meet you, that will be March 24th here at Fish and Franks. You're going to have the shield rods, the shield reels. You're going to be working out specials and deals. And
some other new stuff, too, that Cameron, our product development manager, made. Forge reels, our shield, our armor. We got some new stuff coming out, so that'll be an exciting time.
So if you want to meet David and in person, shake his hand, check out the stuff he's got, you're welcome to come to the store here. I'll show it to you, but March 24th is the tent sale, and it's you're going to be able to actually shake his hand, and I encourage you, and I hate to say this, but even whether or not you're even going to buy a product, come over and talk to him. He's the greatest guy to talk to, friends forever, and I think it's going to be hopefully for a lot longer than that. So Any final thoughts?
You guys in the Port Charlotte area really are very lucky to have Frank and Robert and the rest of this crew here. This is a very cool tackle shop. I've been doing this for 25 years, and this is absolutely one of my favorite places to be. So come on in. It's this ain't no boutique, but it's a very cool place to be. And look, hopefully I meet some of y'all in at the
March 24th.
March 24th. Thanks.
Now, just to let you know, you're always invited. We're going to be, if you've got a day on the 16th, 17th, 18th, or 19th, we're going to be at the Fort Myers Boat Show. We do a big event down there.
Fernando's coming, right?
Oh, yeah. Fernando's probably going to be there for at least a day or two.
Yeah.
But you're always welcome to come down. If you happen to be going by Fort Myers one of those days, come down and join us at the Fort Myers Boat Show. It's a fun event. It's a massive show. You're going to like it. But anyway, any last words? Because I don't really know what else to ask.
I think we're good. And again, appreciate the opportunity to talk about our product with your listeners. And
now, that Shield Tsunami.
Tsunami Shield Reel. Tsunami Carbon Shield Rods are what we spoke of. But Tsunami is one of Folsom's brands, basically, is what it amounts to.
What other brands do they have?
Centro is one of our terminal tackle lines. We also do Bimini Bay sunglasses. We do Salt Life Optics sunglasses, Bimini Bay clothing.
Marathon, one of
Marathon's one of our...
we got a lot of those.
Yeah, in the terminal tackle.
Yeah, the Sabikis. I got a lot of Marathon Sabikis.
Super Sabikis. Actually, one of your questions is we want to make products that are real affordable and stuff, and that's part of what our deal is and stuff. And you know, I mean, it's top quality stuff that's you know, and our Sabiki rigs and our terminal tackle I think are a good example of that as well. And again, getting back to our Shield and Carbon Shield, my friend Dave Lear, one of the editors at Saltwater Sportsman, wrote about the Shield and Carbon Shield setups the other day, saying it's a great value for the money, and that's an important thing. Obviously, everybody's got to make a living, but I got three kids too, so I know what it's like to you know, look for something that's a good value on things and stuff, so everybody can enjoy this. Okay, that's it. I'm starting to ramble on here.
That's okay. That's what we do. Nobody has to make sense. This is Fish and Frank show.
Anyway, no, that's enough of that.
Well, boys and girls, Fish and Frank's David Blackwell from Folsom, Florida, with Tsunami Shield Reels and Tsunami Shield Carbon Rods.
Tsunami!
Yes. So, anyway, thank you guys for putting up with another one. And these are happenstance shows, but just want you to know who I buy from and what the people are like. So, thanks for listening.
See you March 24th.
And we'll catch you on the next Radio Fishing. Bye-bye.
That was fun.